As the official healthcare provider of Minnesota United, Allina Health is focused on keeping our loons in top condition. And with expertise in orthopedics, sports medicine, heart care, and more, Allina has the team to keep your family in the game too. The experts at Allina Health take the time to get to know you as a whole person, helping you achieve wellness for your mind, body, and spirit. It's an altogether better kind of healthcare. Learn more at AlinaHealth.org. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Sound of the Loons presented by Allina Health. This time I get to be joined by the man, Eric Ramsey, head coach of Minnesota United. A little bit of a check-in. I think the last time I talked to you officially on a recorded podcast was when you were doing your like media tour, whirlwind, Allianz Field, pictures, press conference, all of the above. How are you today on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, that genuinely feels a lifetime ago. That I know it's only a month or so, but it feels, like what's been packed in that time is ridiculous. But no, we've got to a really good point, both from the perspective of where we are with the group, how it feels in the club, how me and my family are feeling in the area, everything. I think post the weekend feels like we've just about now got our heads above water and everything is moving in the right direction. And this week, today in particular, it's brilliant in the sense that we are already midway through the week. We've had a really good session out in the sun today. We're off tomorrow, and then by the time we're back in on Friday, we're staring down the barrel of a really important home game in what should hopefully be a really big atmosphere.
And I know when we talk about, you know, hey, are you settling in? I mean, that could mean like a thousand different things because you just said it, right? I mean, your wife came over in the beginning, then she went back, then she brought the family back. You got yourself sorted in a house. All in the meantime, you're trying to just get your bearings on the city, drive on the right side of the road, manage some blizzards, welcome in a new assistant coach, and, oh, by the way, coach a team and, you know, go to a couple away games. Do you feel like you've been able to take a breath or no?
No, it has. I think I've used the expression prior in an interview around it being like building a house in a hurricane, and not in any way does that reflect how it is at the club here, just the whole set of circumstances around, as you say, sort of dealing with the fallout of leaving one job, the administrative side of getting everything going here, and then dealing with what is a very demanding day-to-day and battling with games every 6 or 7 days. So I think the fact that I have managed to get to a point where I feel like I've got my head above water and everything's moving in the right direction is something.
Well, it's almost one of those things that you probably feel like now you can relate once again to maybe players when they come in new. Like you're just trying to learn like whose office is where. Where's the restroom? How do I get, you know, like just the basic simple things is very much what these guys are trying to adjust to when they come in. When you look at since your time here, what's the best thing that's happened so far? Maybe outside of soccer, because you can't just be like, oh, our win at home, Wonderwall. Like, what's the best thing that's happened or what's the best thing you've experienced?
I was fortunate enough to sit courtside at the basketball, which was a brilliant sporting experience. I think the difference between that particular game and the one I'd gone to a week earlier sort of sat 7 or 8 rows back. The being courtside thing, it changes the perspective on the game, the pace of it, the detail, the intricacy, the players, the genuine physical specimens that you can't really appreciate until you see them up close. So both Dennis and I went to that game with Khaled, and that was arguably one of the best sporting experiences I've had, I would say. So there's been a few of those. I've sort of tried to drink in a little bit of that in the city, without mentioning the Let's Play Hockey incident that I will.
I heard on Taylor's podcast, you're like, let's forget about
hopefully
that.
Hopefully, never see the light of day again. So there's been a few of those where the sort of the American sporting experience we've tried to embrace, and both my wife and her parents who are with us at the moment have been able to see a lot of stuff. So it's been really nice that this has coincided with the sort of business end of the season for a few other sports. So I've loved that. It's been top.
I noticed Dennis was still at practice today, so you did not lose him to the NBA, because I know he had a basketball life prior. He didn't like get the urge to like, he's still a tall man.
No,
He
well,
still lost a couple inches.
he's loved all that. He's a big Lakers fan, so I think he's hoping that the stars align and the Lakers will end up meeting the Timberwolves at some point. So, which I think is just around the corner if things go well for both of them. So, I think that's been it's been nice for both of us. But I would just say in general the appetite for sport in America, the I suppose like the richness of that sporting context in Minnesota in particular is something that I've been really lucky to have access to the sport so far, and it's definitely something that I want to embrace. And I know there have been lots of conversations amongst our staff and the staff from various other clubs about connecting and sort of sharing a bit of knowledge and best practice. So hopefully that really gathers a bit of momentum there.
When you look at what your family has been able to do since they've joined you here, and I know I'm sure your wife and your kids are sort of venturing out with your in-laws, any best thing that they've enjoyed thus far?
We're just so impressed with what is on offer in Minnesota and around Minneapolis, Plymouth, where we are for the kids. Obviously, the whole preparedness for the winter means that there are these phenomenal indoor spaces for kids, and sort of every time we have a bit of free time and a day off, we're discovering something else. And I think we'll have a really nice quality of life here, and I think our kids will take an immense amount from being a part of the community. And I will say to a person, we've been really well welcomed from people at the club and people in the area. So I don't think we could have really made a better start in that sense. And I will say that the one of the first things you read on Google, if you Google from the UK about the Minnesota and Minnesota people, are that they're maybe not the country's friendliest bunch of people. But I will say I haven't at all had that impression. It's been brilliant. We felt really welcome.
When you look at, I will say this too, if you ever get to the point where you bring your children to the Timberwolves game and they sit courtside, just hang real tight to that bag of M&Ms.
Sure.
When I went with my husband and my daughter, that was his biggest fear, is she was gonna spill the bag of M&Ms. It's gonna go rolling
Really?
across the floor, like scrambling. They have to stop the game and like all this kind of stuff.
Well, I
So.
couldn't. I mean, courtside. A genuine. I mean, there's. I was sort of wasn't quite expectant of being so close to the action. I mean, they are falling into you,
Like
and
sweating
I
on you.
sort of felt. Genuinely, and I thought for Chris, it's a really interesting like coaching context as well, where you're sort of sat amongst the front row of a load of spectators. So it's such a unique experience that yeah, I want it all. Go on.
Well, the one, the guy and the woman sitting right next to Chris Finch are the
Owner.
owners. So
Well, we
I'm just
also
gonna throw that out
we
there.
met them. We also met them on that night, and that again is another quirk of the setup, I suppose. So yeah, it makes my situation on a match day seem far calmer.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you got new experience that, and I'm glad your family is enjoying it. And the months only get better now that we get more and more into the nice weather. But just being able to experience the outdoor stuff. So now let's get to the soccer piece of it. What about from a soccer managerial standpoint, what has it been smoother than you expected, more difficult, easier of a transition, not just coming to Minnesota and Major League Soccer, but being a head coach for the first time? What's your overall, like on a 0 to 10, 10 has been way more challenging than I thought, and zero being like, this is a piece of cake. I thought this was going to be way harder.
I'd say it's been somewhere in the middle. I've really enjoyed the role. It's what I've wanted to do over the course of the last couple of years. I've enjoyed every minute of, I suppose, the level of responsibility. Trying to put a team on the pitch that's in the image of the way I see the game, and the sort of the way I connect with the staff to sort of define the look of the team and how we want it to move forward. So I've really enjoyed that part of it. I've really taken some satisfaction from the fact that in four or five games, we've at least had some large spells of those games where we've looked like the team that we want to be moving forward. Of course, this is a period in which I'm getting to grips with various things about the league, really trying to get a in-depth, intricate feel for the way in which our players are, what suits them, what doesn't, what their strengths are, who they can connect with, how we can build the team from this particular set of players and this particular set of strengths that we've got. So I'm learning more and more every day and every week. Of course, I look back over the five games and I can't imagine any head coach doesn't do this and think, well, if I'd done that there and if I'd done that there and if this had happened here, we'd be in an even better situation than we are now. But I take most of those instances as really important steps on my journey and the team's journey, and ones that will hopefully mean that come the end of the season, with all lessons learned, that amounts to a team that is where it should be. And I'll say it's a really good group of players, really coachable, a really sort of likable group of players, for want of a better way of putting that. And I'm sure that other staff that works with them will say day to day, we've got a really good environment that feels like everyone is really invested in coming in every day and trying to get better and trying to help the team move forward. So that's all you can really ask for as a coach. And I hope the players would, if you were to speak to them, say something similar, that they feel like the environment is moving them on. They feel like the coaches are really invested in them and the group, and sort of beyond that is fate to an extent.
When you look at, you just said, you know, sort of the different things you've been able to do, maybe try, maybe different things you wish you would have done. As we all know, we can't really live in the past, just learn from those things. What in the world and when, at what moment did you decide to change the way you did against Charlotte? Because I don't think anyone, at least on the outside, saw that coming. But like, it was, when did that come about? How did that come about? And then when you went to implement it, how did the guys take it on?
Yeah, I just think the rationale for the preparation for each of our games is who's available, what strengths do they have, how does that particular set of circumstances within your group meet the conditions of the opposition and the context of the game, and then we try and, within a set of principles of play that we're always preaching day to day, that we've really defined clearly, what is the best thing we can do for the upcoming game. And I think the thing about Charlotte was, they have an incredible record at home. They're very difficult to beat at home. No one has had any real tangible success there so far, and certainly over a long period of time. So we just felt that if we were to do what we've done up until this point, then we could possibly end up sort of just sleepwalking to going there and getting beaten. So I think in some sense, it just paid to do something different and try to look at the game differently to how we'd look at games so far. So I think it panned out well. And obviously, I've talked openly over the course of my time here about wanting to be a team that can be flexible, adaptable and pragmatic from a shape and system perspective without compromising too much that overall look of the team. And that was a big step toward doing that. So again, I hope the players genuinely feel that we as a set of staff can work with them to define something that's going to give them the best chance of winning an upcoming game. And they feel that once we've sort of mapped out the rationale and logic as to why we're going to do something, that they're all in for executing it. And I felt that was the case going into Charlotte. And I think you saw that on the pitch.
Kervin, in the role he was in, did it surprise you that he handled it the way he did? I mean, I know you put him there, so you must have known he could do it, but how did you feel about his performance on the day?
Yeah, he played as I hoped he would play. I think he's a really good example of what I've just laid out, in the sense that he has a certain set of strengths, irrespective of what position he plays on paper. He tends to do a certain number of things. He tends to find himself in a certain part of the pitch. And I think when you have a player like that that's got a very distinct set of qualities, then it's more about how you can work the rest of the team around that and how you can get the best of that individual player. And I think he was a really good example of that playing out as you'd want it. And I thought we played really, really well. He's someone that's got a load of qualities in many senses, very athletic, really physically dominant, but also very good on the ball. And you saw how well he contributed to a couple of the instances that led to key moments in the game. So I was really pleased for him, because obviously he's had a really stop-start period since I've been in. So hopefully it's the start of something for him.
When you look at the team going forward and continuing to make adjustments. And of course, clearly some of it's based on availability and opponent and, you know, maybe congestion of schedule, travel, whatnot. When you look at this and in your time as a assistant, did you always know that the buy-in of the players is one of the most important aspects? Because if you're going to change, if you're going to put someone like Pookie on the bench, if you're going to have, you know, this transition where you get these guys to buy in, and it's not just about winning, but just that they understand that we're doing what we think is best for you as a player, us as a group. Where do you rank that in your level of importance for like a team to be successful?
Yeah, I've always taken the standpoint that really the players have to feel like you are sort of working for them, if that makes sense. And I think the most healthy environment that you can create is one whereby you can communicate very openly with the players as to why you are doing what you're doing, what the rationale is behind what's happening day to day. They have some level of input in that, which you have a really good chance to do with this particular group, because you've got a good chunk of sort of senior players. It's not just an age thing. You've got players that aren't in the latter stages of their career that are also very bright, very communicative. So from my perspective and the coach's perspective, there can be an element of that looking quite flat at the top in how you define what the game plan should be, what are the subtleties to it. And then I think once you're having those types of conversations with players, they feel like you're working on their behalf in some senses, then they're all in on that. I don't want to create an environment in which we sit up here and we're defining the game plan and the players are down here doing our bidding, because I don't think that is an environment that creates that real level of engagement with something. And I think then you can often feel that on the pitch. If you get a group of players who feel like with the staff, they've come to a conclusion that best suits everyone, then you're going to get a group of players that are going to go out on the pitch and they're really going to try and execute whether they do or not. Again, to an extent, that's down to fate. But I want to make sure that more often than not, we get to that point. Hopefully the players, they feel like there is that genuine collaboration in a way. And I think I've tried to pitch it that way to them so far.
When you look at, speaking of buy-in, talk to me about Cam and Dennis now that you've all been in the same building working together for a bit of time, because, you know, there was a lot made about Cam in the job he had done, and then you coming in, but then also Dennis is coming in, who you guys know each other, but you never actually coached together, to my knowledge. How has that been? What does that look like? You know, I've seen it at training as far as divvying up sort of responsibilities and who handles what, but how's that been?
Yeah, we've clicked into a really nice working relationship between the three of us and the wider staff that we have here. We want to work in a way where the coaches are very active. There's a lot of individual attention given to players. There is a lot of small group work. I think you'll have seen during the large majority of the sessions that you've been at, I'm sure that there are often splits, the three of us plus the other guys. They're very active. It isn't the case that I'm stood in the middle of the pitch. I'm leading the sessions and the coaches stood on the side watching. Like, we've got a really nice collaboration between us, and I think the players will hopefully feel that as well. I think it's really important that all the coaches have a big voice, that they feel like they can put their stamp on things, but it comes from the perspective of us all largely being on the same page. We're carrying the same message. And I think obviously both of them, very good coaches, really good guys, supported, backed up really well here by Addy, Jeremy, Cristiano, who works with the goalkeepers and the guys that work from a sports science perspective. So I think we've got a really smooth thing going on at the moment. So hopefully that continues in that vein.
Has there been a moment yet where one of them is like, what the, no, don't do that. What are you thinking? Like, has there been one of those moments yet where anybody's, you know,
or that? No, not really. I mean, I think largely we're on the same page. And again, I work in, I sort of see things between us in the same way as I see our relationship with the players, in that it is collaborative. It's not just my team. It's not just the way in which I think about the game. Obviously, I've got a strong opinion. I've got a strong, hopefully, rationale and logic for the things that I'd like to do that I map out and discuss with those guys. But I think largely we've been on the same page. Each of them brings something pretty unique in terms of what they can challenge on. Cam obviously knows the league really well, knows the opposition really well, knows this club really well, knows the qualities of our young players really well. So he feeds in hugely in that sense. Dennis has got a huge variety of experiences with a number of different coaches, so I can challenge from the perspective of game plan setup. He's been a manager. He can really push from the perspective of how I handle individual situations and certain players in the group. So I feel like I've got a good support from almost all angles you could have as a head coach. So I've really enjoyed working with both of them and the other guys so far.
What's your impression of the league now that you're a bit into it? I know you did your research, you knew about it before, but now that you're in it, what's your impression of the league, the travel, the facilities, just all encompassing? What's your thoughts?
I think there's two big things that stand out for me. One is the level of competitiveness across the league, and then in individual games, it means that you're never out of a game, or from what I could see, largely 9 games out of 10 are sort of decided by no more than one goal. You've got a really good chance, if you can stay in games, for things to swing your way. For decisive periods, it's not often the case, from what I've seen, that one team is completely dominant for the entire game. You haven't got that same level of sort of established hierarchy that you might have in England. That means that games are going to be very one-sided in quite a predictable way across the league. So I think that makes it really interesting for us. I also think that over the course of a season, you know that there's just around the corner the opportunity to win a game, so you don't really need to ever lose that sort of equilibrium that you're going to have as a group. You never need to feel like the walls are caving in. You never need to catastrophize. If you can just stay pretty constructive and level, it's going to mean that it's similar to the situation that we've just encountered, where we sort of win my first game, then we don't win for 3 games. I always sort of knew in that situation, if we could just keep an even keel and prevent the sort of rot setting in, that we're gonna win relatively soon. It's just the nature of the league and the nature of our group. So I think they're really important messages that the players themselves have to carry. And then the second thing would be that, just by design, the way in which the money's invested in the squads means that there are a lot of very good forwards in the league, because that is the nature of where people have spent their money. So in most of the games that you're looking at so far, there are one or two very, very good individuals that sort of they're almost outliers in terms of quality in the group. So you always have to find a way of dealing with those particular individuals, and then if you can do that, then you give yourself a really good chance. So I think they'll be the two biggest things that maybe differentiate the MLS to other contexts that I've seen a little bit more closely.
And then lastly, just one thing about yourself that nobody publicly maybe knows that you're willing to share. Like some fun fact, something like it could be embarrassing. It could be, if not, I'll just have to ask your wife. We'll have to have her on the next
You
podcast.
better. You. She will have a long list of these things. This is not me. You'll pick up. I'm a pretty guarded guy that's not gonna spill those types of things. But if you get my wife on here one day, then she'll be more than willing, I'm sure.
Okay, so you're not
Yeah,
going to give us
nothing's
anything.
great.
Not nothing.
I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. There will be something, I'm sure. Next time we're on, I'll bring it to the table front and center.
Okay, I'll either get it from your wife or maybe Sherry will have a conversation with your wife, someone
Yeah,
that'll be able
possibly.
to deep dive when you're not paying
Yeah,
attention.
exactly.
Awesome. Well,
Exactly.
thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know you're extremely busy. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy your off day tomorrow, and we'll see you on the weekend.
Thanks, Kendra. Very nice. We'll speak to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, coach. Appreciate
Cheers.
it.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. Segment number two in Sound of the Loons coming up next. Warmer weather means green grass and plenty of soccer. Starting in May, Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps throughout the spring and the summer months. Come enjoy the game, demonstrate your skills, and take your game to the next level with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the camps and combines page on MNUFC.com for more information. All right, welcome back, everybody. Segment number two, Sound of the Loons. This time, I get to be joined by Cage Romanchin, who is kind enough to take a few moments out of his afternoon on this Wednesday to chat all things Minnesota United, MLS Next Pro, Minnesota United 2, Minnesota soccer. We can kind of hit just about everything as Cage has been in the state of Minnesota and doing it for a long time. So thank you for taking the time for to join me today. Appreciate it, Cage.
No problem.
So let's just get down to the nitty gritty. Are you West Side?
Yes.
West Side. Okay. We always have this big debate. I've grown up my whole life East Side, Minnesota, and like I just remember playing club. Everybody's like, West Side is better, East Side is better. Do you have, I don't know what your club team was like growing up, but what's your opinion?
I don't know. It's kind of, I've moved around a lot, so I was on the east side, but then I moved to the west side a little more. So I don't know. I like them both.
So you have a balanced perspective. Where
Yeah.
were you, East Side?
I was in, it was like East Minneapolis area. So yeah.
Okay, got it. So East Minneapolis, not quite like East, like you didn't make it all the way to St. Paul or
No,
like I'm
not really.
getting you. Okay, got it. Okay, cool. All right. Well, at least you have a little bit more balanced opinion because you've lived it both. So you
Yeah.
know you can have like an honest perspective about it. Talk to us about your life growing up in soccer and what got you involved, what made you love this game and stick with it.
I just feel like, I feel like everyone when they're younger kind of just gets put into soccer. I feel like that's what everyone plays when they're younger. And but I just when I was I think I started when I was like 4 or 5, and I just like fell in love with the game. I had a great time. It brought me a ton of joy, so it was awesome. And then through there, I moved into the academy when I was about 12, 13. And yep, just been playing ever since.
Do you have any siblings? Did they play? Were your parents like, hey, you're doing this? Or was it your idea? Did a lot of your friends play
Well,
growing up?
my parents were both like really big athletes. My mom played volleyball and my dad played football and baseball. So they were always super big on sports. But I have three younger siblings. I have two younger brothers and a younger sister. And my younger brother right now, he's 5. He just got into soccer, so he really likes it. Yeah,
Do they enjoy watching you? I bet that's
and
like, is it
they
like a
love
thrill?
coming to the games. It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, and the fact that you're still in Minnesota, I mean, I feel like there's something about that, you know, even if people go away to college or when they go away professionally, but like the fact that, or if you look at maybe some other people's paths, like Caden Clark, for example, right? He was here and then he went away. And like, what a treat for him to come back and have his parents and his family watch. I mean, how awesome is it to have your family, even some of your friends probably supporting you at some of these games and sort of along this journey?
No, it's awesome to be like a hometown kid and have like a ton of fans. Like my family's here, they come to every game, so it's awesome.
Was there ever any a doubt that this is where you were going to be, that you were going to be with Minnesota United, that this was going to be the club, the path, the academy that you wanted to be a part of?
I mean, everyone has like their different routes in football. So I think this was just kind of my path. I just kind of made it through the ranks. And yeah, I've really enjoyed my time here.
What's been the biggest challenge for you in this journey?
I would say originally coming up with like the second and first team a little bit, because I really had to kind of get used to the physicality a bit more and playing a bit quicker, one and two touch at times. So that was probably, I think I adapted well though, but that was probably the biggest difficulty.
So when you had to like the first training session when you got pulled up, were
Yeah,
like what was that
I
like?
was kind of getting tossed around a little bit. It was a little hard, but I thought I held my own. I did well.
So when you look at your roster, your current roster, or maybe past ones, who maybe have you leaned on for some advice, for some information, for some, you know, when you need to pick me up, when you need a kick in the butt, who are those individuals?
I think, I mean, on the first team, someone I always look up to is Will Trapp. I feel like he's like one of the greatest captains and leaders I've ever seen. He just so professional every day. Also, Devin Padelford, he's helped me a lot too, because he's also kind of like a Minnesota kid. So I'm good friends with him. And then on the second team, I'm honestly, I'm pretty good friends with everyone. I'd say maybe when I first kind of got up, I was kind of leaning on Rory maybe for a bit more, like, because he's also a midfielder, kind of just trying to take some parts of his game too when I was first coming up. So yeah.
When you look at your experience and when you sign the contract and you know playing with MLS Next Pro and MNUFC2, maybe some tough results early on. It feels like you guys are sort of weathering the storm a little bit as so much has been made about the first team and the transition and the coaching staff and Cam and you know you guys maybe had someone different picking your 11 in the first couple of weeks. I believe it's Jeremy Howell that's been officially named the head coach. Am I correct on that?
Yeah,
I just
that
want to
is
make sure
true.
I got my information straight
Yeah.
here. Does it feel good to have like a just some consistency and just a little, sort of a knowing about what it's going to be from going forward?
Yeah, it feels great. It's kind of like a relief on everyone. It's not so like, oh, what are we doing today? It's kind of like everything's planned out now. And Jeremy's a great coach. I've known him for a while. I really like him. So yeah, it's been awesome.
When was it tough to adapt to different coaches, or did was everybody sort of sending the same message? It was more just like you didn't know what the day was going to bring when you showed up.
Yeah, it was kind of at the beginning, we'd kind of have like some different coaches running it. But now that Jeremy's here, we know kind of what he's about. He was here last year too as the assistant behind Cam. So yeah, we kind of know what he brings and it's been good.
What are your aspirations?
Just playing first team football for Minnesota, honestly. Yeah, just
What
trying.
excites you about that? What excites you about this league? I mean, it's the league is not what it was
Yeah.
5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, you're only 19, so like you don't you know, it's you're not young enough to know when it was like baggy uniforms and 1v1 penalty shootouts and all this kind of stuff. But what excites you about it?
I think there's definitely a lot more talent coming to the league, which is awesome. And I think, yeah, it's a lot more exciting to watch recently. I feel like it's been all the games have been really like a lot more quality, I feel like.
When you look at your position on the field, how do you feel like you best contribute to the team? And also I asked this of a lot of the pro guys that we talked to, the first team guys, is if you had to look up your name in a media guide, what would the blurb say? What would the description say about Cadron Mansion? It would be like, this is what he does well. This is who he is on the field.
I would just say like a creative midfielder can kind of make things happen, but also work hard defensively. I think that's I kind of bring both sides of the ball to the game, I think.
So you say an eight?
Yep.
Okay. So you like to be an eight, or you prefer an eight, you're good at an eight. When you look at a formationally, who what is like your dream? Like if you're playing FIFA with yourself and like your team and you saw this like crazy sequence unfold and a goal come from it, what would that look like? You know how there's some plays that like you see happen or you do and you're like, that was sweet.
Honestly, maybe just like a great team goal, a lot of like tiki taka, and just to finish it off with like a nice strike would be nice. That'd be a good goal, I think.
As a team, what do you think that is your is this group's ceiling? Like, where can you guys go? You know, year one of MNUFC2 was kind of sorting some things out. Year two last year, Cam, I remember talking to him, like, felt like there was some more consistency. They just felt like a real rhythm. And now in this year, there was some, you know, uncertainty from a coaching perspective, but a really good group of guys that are, you know, all have a common goal. What do you think is this team's strength?
I think honestly, compared to previous years, we definitely have a lot more younger players, but I also think we have a lot of talent too. Like I think if we can hit like a good roll of games, I think we could get on a really good winning streak and have a really, really good season.
When you remember back to when, and I don't know when you found out about your contract as opposed to like when it got officially announced, but when that was a thing and it got brought up and it came to be, what was that moment like for you as such a young player? What was that actual like the feeling, the moment that you were signing this contract and, you know, like that's, did that feel like a massive achievement, a weight lifted off your shoulder? Like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I think it definitely felt like an achievement. I was like super happy. It was a dream, obviously. But then it kind of like made me realize, like talking to my family a little bit, like this is where the real work starts now. 'Cause like it was kind of like, oh, yay. But now this is actually where the real work starts. So yeah.
Like when people see you on the street and they're like, oh, what do you do? Are you like, I'm a pro soccer player?
And some people are like, really? Like they just, yeah.
You're like, no,
Yeah.
really. That's awesome. I mean, that had to be kind of, was that like weird the first time? You like when someone's like, oh, what do? You're like, when
Yeah,
you get rejected,
it
like,
was weird
yeah.
because like I was like younger too, so they were like, how are you professional when you're only like 18, 17? Yeah, it was weird.
That's awesome. When you look at some of your other friends, maybe from high school, like what are they all doing? What are they up to? Do you feel like you're missing out on that path, or are you just content with where you're at?
No, I mean, I wouldn't really have it any other way. I like the path I'm on. I like how what I chose. So, yeah.
And then just looking at this group again, and this team, when you come to training every day, and clearly, you show up, you have a mindset of being the best you can for that team, for MNUFC 2. Is it hard not to think about, like, what do I need to do to get into a first team practice? Is it hard not to be like, okay, I got pulled up for a training session, but now the next day I'm not in that training session? Or how do you mentally handle that, balance when you are, I mean, in every academy, every club, every, second team, MNUFC 2, or, whether it's Timbers 2, whoever it is. Every player has that same challenge, but I would imagine that's a little bit of a mental.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely difficult at times, but I just try to kind of focus on what I can control, 'cause like I can't control if I'm with the first team or second team every day. So I just honestly try to give 100% effort every day, work hard for my team, my teammates too. Yeah.
What do you do to relax? What are your hobbies outside of soccer?
I enjoy playing video games and just kind of hanging out with some friends. That's about it.
Awesome. I'm sure you're probably like, I gotta conserve some energy, guys. You guys don't know how difficult these training sessions are. And then just last thing, any specific thing about you that like people don't know or that they should know, or like you step on the field for that first team in Allianz Field someday and there's Cadrill Mansion and they're like, oh yeah, I remember I heard that this and this about him.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, maybe that, I guess I'm just a hometown kid, I guess. I don't really know what else, to be honest.
Jeez Louise, I just talked to Eric Ramsey and he didn't have anything fun to say about himself either.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to do some digging here.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks, Cage. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot on your plate
Fine.
today, so thanks so much for taking the time. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, everybody, tune in again next week for another episode of Sound of the Loons presented by Allina Health.